Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
Beyond Caleb himself, the rest of this Bears outfit, the Bears offense, the Bears run game, all those things can enhance the way we end up viewing the performance specifically of the Bears quarterback.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
Yeah, you can be outside of the club and you can think somebody else is a punk. Well, I don't think
go
we
ahead.
Can say the rest of the
no,
song.
Go ahead.
No, I'm pretty sure that we get fired. But the point is, you're never scared. You're always happy to go to Anthony Herron live on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. As I mentioned, a former Iowa Hawkeye, former NFL athlete as well. He works now for us. Fox 32, you can see him on their Bears shows. And, of course, the Big Ten Network. The man is everywhere. It is football season. It is Anthony Herron season. And how you doing?
Layla, Marshall, I'm fantastic. Really appreciate you guys having me on. And I'm at the Big Ten Network studios right now because we're preparing a few additional goodies, I'll call them, because Saturday I'm going to be on the broadcast at Iowa City, where Kirk Ferentz is right now tied with Woody Hayes for the all-time wins record in Big Ten football. With a win on Saturday over UMass, he will become the all-time Big Ten conference leader. So I'm on the call for that one. It was already preordained. It was on the schedule before the season. It just worked out that the Cyclones took down the Hawkeyes. And so now this is the potential record breaker I'm going to call. Really looking forward to it.
Number one, that was quite the upset, and we didn't even touch on it. The spread being 3.5, I was like, why is it so low? Well, the Hawkeyes proved me wrong. And then secondly, I think to be there for that moment, are you going to get to talk to Kirk Ferentz in person at all? Like, do you get to see him in this process? Because you're up in the press box calling the game.
Right. I'll get there Thursday evening. We'll have some production meetings with the home. Usually we'll talk to the home coaching staff on Fridays on the day before the games. And the visiting team will usually do via Zoom a little bit earlier in the week. But, yeah, I'll get to head to Iowa City and get to spend some time with my old coach, because I had Hayden Fry for my first 2 years and then Kirk Ferentz my last 2 years. So bookended by, you know, two of these guys who've had more success than most coaches could ever dream of in Big Ten football, and specifically at my alma mater. So, yeah, it's going to be a good weekend.
And I was a sideline reporter in the inaugural season of the Big Ten Network. Let me tell you something. Two trips to Iowa City, I ain't never had a bad time in Iowa City. Let me just leave you with that.
It's the quintessential college town. You can have a little bit of anything you're looking for while you're there.
I did have a good time at the two tailgates I went to in Iowa City as well. Yeah. We approve.
And Layla, I'm going to be with one of your old compadres from Texas, the voice of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Folliwell. He'll be on the call with me. Mark's one of my main partners at the Big Ten Network. I know you've gotten to know Mark in the past, so we've shared some fun Layla stories over the years. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Danny Rogers as well.
Mark was at my wedding, and I still talk to Mark. So that tells you a lot about
Very
how
cool.
I think about him.
Wow.
The guest of honor, not so much. And not only is it great to talk about college football in that discussion, too, because Cy-Hawk was a big game over the past week, and one of the few you really wanted to watch if you're a college football fan. But then we had the main event on Monday night. What were your overall takeaways out of what you saw?
So I've spoken to you guys about the running back position for the Bears for a while now. And to pare it down to just whether or not they've gotten deep enough at running back and whether or not they should have acquired additional personnel, that concern still exists after the Monday night game. But also just whether or not the Bears schemed up the run game in an adequate manner. Coming out of that one, I'm just thinking, man, there's just a lot in the game plan that felt, I think, somewhat basic when it came down to the way the Bears tried to attack with the run, the infrequency it felt like at times that they went about the run game also. So, you know, to me, I kind of come back to some of those core principles. Unless you've got a dude, a proven commodity at quarterback and frankly wide receiver as well, just kind of doing the volume passing thing. You know, I did like a lot of elements, some moments from the Bears offense. There's no doubt about that. You don't get away from that. But the Bears struggling to run the football with the high dollar offensive line, that concerns me. That concerns me until proven otherwise.
Is it more scheme, the personnel at running back, or just how good that defensive line for the Vikings is?
Well, the defensive line for the Vikings, I mean, there's an element of physicality they bring to it, but then also, even when they're not blitzing, there's constant movement. And so your landmarks as the offensive line are sort of in constant, you know, sort of conflict, because you're thinking one moment that this is going to be your target area in the run game, and then that player might flop to the complete opposite side of the formation by the time you actually snap the football. So that makes it tough from a run game perspective. And then, of course, they've got guys up front who are really effective at penetrating, not only just the way they hit the blocks, but because it's difficult to get movement on them when they're getting skinny in creases, when they're just penetrating enough to sort of log jam things at what you're hoping the point of attack will be. When you have a back like DeAndre Swift that's always looking for that opportunity to bounce, then it can throw off his vision, because he's not one of these guys that runs through the smoke where you're hoping that if the hole isn't there immediately, that it'll declare during the carry. And that's not really just how he's equipped. That's not how he's wired. So there's a few different elements of that front seven for the Vikings because of what they do from an eye candy perspective. And I was talking about this during the pregame coverage, that myself, Luke Kanellis, Tina Wynn, Cassie Carlson were all out there at Soldier Field before their Monday night game. And that eye candy from the Vikings, it doesn't always lead to actual blitz pressure, but it throws off your landmarks in the run game. And you know, the offensive line, I thought there was a lot to be desired. I really expected more from the Bears up front on the O-line, just with their ability to create movement and create even creases. You don't have to blow guys off the ball to create creases and alleys for the run game. DeAndre Swift is DeAndre Swift. So I know social media will continue to voice that frustration with his run style, but I mean, I knew him before he got to Chicago. Didn't know him personally, but I know his run style. I've evaluated DeAndre Swift throughout his entire career, even going back to his high school career. I know how he runs the rock. I think the Bears should know how he runs the rock. So it does still surprise me that they haven't found a guy who's more north-south in his wiring to at least pair with a guy who does have legit game-breaking skills in the open field like Swift does, but he's not your every-down running back.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Ant Heron, we are talking to him. He's over at Big Ten Network right now physically, but he's with us here in Raheem Hinn Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. And Ant, another thing about that Vikings defensive line that we saw, very different looks in the second half compared to what we saw out of the first, but also some obvious questions where you're still asking yourself the same thing. Like we saw when they did bring up an extra rusher, how they would realign the line where people were blatantly shooting the gap pre-snap. Protection was not slid. What were your evaluations of that as well in being able to stop the Bears offensively? I feel like that was a big part of it, where we're asking ourselves the same question. Well, if I'm seeing this before the snap and they're not moving around and the line didn't move, then whose man is the guy who's shooting a gap, for example?
And it's felt more obvious at times in the past if the Bears have broken the huddle late with previous offensive play callers, and then they've had difficulty sifting through things with a young quarterback and a center who may or may not be a veteran, may or may not really know what he's looking at, or may just be overwhelmed by his responsibilities post-snap. But you got Drew Dalton, spent money on him. I do think Ben Johnson, for the most part, seemed to get the play in pretty quickly, where they were able to get it in the huddle, break the huddle, and Caleb Williams and Drew Dalton had a chance to evaluate that Vikings defense pre-snap. But then it's one thing to call it in the huddle. It's one thing to draw it up on the grease board. It's a completely different animal when the fan gets filthy out there and you've got the Vikings crossing all over the place and Jonathan Grenard is right here 1 second, somewhere else the next second. You know, there's a lot they throw at you within their front seven to really try to diagnose. And so from a pass protection perspective, the Bears, you know, did struggle with that. Now the legs of Caleb Williams did get him out of that jeopardy. And I thought early in the game, throughout a lot of the first half, he was very decisive. Yes, the inaccuracy showed up at times throughout the game. I thought especially in the first half, he was really decisive with where and how he delivered the football just to get it out of his hands. Or at times when he felt like it was time to evacuate the pocket, he did it quickly. That decisiveness didn't sustain itself throughout the game, especially once the Vikings finally did get some offense going. Then that puts a different type of pressure on the Bears offense because now there's something to respond to. There's game flow that's going in the direction of your opponent, and the Bears didn't do an effective job of responding to that.
And neither Caleb Williams or Ben Johnson had great answers as to why the inaccuracy on what looked like pretty basic NFL throws went by the wayside in the second half. Do you have an explanation?
No, but it certainly looked like some of the moments his rookie year. Now, I'll also say this, because Caleb sailing the ball, and specifically where Caleb tends to miss, he seemingly tends to miss high. And, you know, this is just conjecture on my part, but when you're missing high on vertical passes, it does seem like you're trying to keep the ball out of harm's way, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but there's just a consistency to the amount of times that Caleb Williams misses high. So to have lower interception numbers because you're putting it where the defender doesn't have a chance to pick it off, there's some positive to that. An incompletion is better than an interception. But at some point here, and I do think this is twofold, where if a playmaker truly develops, where you say, just put it anywhere near that guy and he's got your back, he's going to go and get the football or at least make sure the defender doesn't intercept it, then there's something to be said for that. That picks a quarterback up. Roman Dunze isn't that yet. DJ Moore isn't the type of receiver that extends his hands away from his frame. Alamide Zaccheaus might be Layla's height. So I don't know who that is.
I think he's taller than me. I'm pretty sure.
Slightly.
But he did look short out there. I agree.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I love that there's a connection that's been established between Caleb Williams and Alamide Zaccheaus. And there's definitely a trust there. If there's any pass catcher that Caleb does occasionally give that opportunity to just give him a kind of a 50-50 ball in some traffic, he's done that with Roman Dunze more than any other pass catcher in his just season plus of being the Bears quarterback. Frankly, Rome just doesn't come up with it as frequently as I've anticipated he would. I was really eager to see Roman Dunze as an NFL receiver after evaluating his college career, because he does have that jump ball ability. He can elevate, he can pluck the ball with his hands, and it's flashed on occasion with the Bears. But by comparison to some of his contemporaries, it's been, we're talking about the inconsistencies of Caleb, but think about in the fourth quarter when the Vikings finally started to really surge in the game, and there's a drive where the Bears are trying to answer the Vikings, and there's that hole shot on an out route, really more of a corner route, where it was between the second and the third level of the defense, and Caleb puts it right there. Just a beautiful ball that goes right through the outstretched hands of Roman Dunze. And there's been a bunch of those moments during Rome's young career so far. So the inaccuracies of Caleb, they're a big part of the storyline that's worthy of concern. But also, I would love to see some playmaker emerge. Maybe it's Colston Loveland. Maybe it's Luther Burden. Maybe it's Roman Dunze, but there needs to be somebody we look to and say, you know what? When Caleb puts that ball in traffic to that guy, we know he's coming down with it. And at the moment, I don't know that guy's – he certainly hasn't shown himself on this roster yet.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.